Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Thanks for being here. It's The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Ted Burton, as we told you last week, is going to be with us today. Ted is the Executive Vice President of Enviro Media Social Marketing. Ted has 20-plus years in news, public relations, strategic media relations, advertising, and marketing. At one point, he probably worked at HEB and or Whole Foods. Has a broad range of agency, newsroom, and public agency experience, and is a strategic thinker, planner, and technician behind award-winning, effective, issue-oriented campaigns. Basically, as an executive vice president, he oversees the agency's public relations, marketing, and advertising efforts, as well as directs Enviro Media's self-promotion. Boy, that's a good position to have. It's surprising to me as we talk to various agencies and such that we work with. It's like, so what do you guys do to promote yourselves? And they go, you know, we really don't know how to promote ourselves. And the question there is, so you tell your clients that you can promote them, but you don't know how to promote yourselves. And that, I don't know whether, Brad, if you've ever heard that, but I have more than one time, and it makes you kind of wonder what's going on here, you know?
The cobbler's children's shoes
yeah. Syndrome. Or they have.
Hey, you mentioned that Ted's a strategic thinker as opposed to a guy that just thinks all over the place. I'm glad they included that in his bio.
Well, he likes to be strategic. You know, being from Austin, that climate might make him very kind of not strategic, but that's okay.
Depends on what bar you're in or what you're smoking, I suppose.
Jeez. No, we won't go there. Disney is hooking up with YouTube, which I think is a really smart idea. That'll hook up with Hulu, though. They could use it as well. Walt Disney seeking to broaden the audience for its broadcast and cable shows on the Internet's most popular video site struck a deal with Google Inc.'s YouTube to distribute short-form content from ESPN and ABC. So, rather interesting. You know, you would have thought maybe a Hulu thing, but I guess not, huh?
Well, and what's interesting about that, Ray, I saw that piece myself, is that the deal, if it does go through, Hulu would have content from all major networks, with one exception, that being CBS. So they're sitting over there going, oops, we should have got involved in this. You know, looking for hot digital creative leaders to represent the agency in an increasingly digital world, Ogilvy North America has appointed Lars Bastrom. Remember him?
Lars, yeah.
He's been a guest on the show, too. A newly created position of chief digital creative officer to remain relevant in the eyes of clients. Traditional agencies are now going out of their way to hire digital stars to produce award-winning work. Of course, before joining Ogilvy, Bastholm spent 4 years at AKQA, very well-known agency.
He had a very successful agency as well.
Out of San Francisco, yeah. Most recently as co-chief creative officer, where he is credited for winning interactive assignments for Coke, Smirnoff, and Motorola, which, Ray, to me, means he spent a lot of time on his cell phone having a vodka and Coke, huh?
Something like that. Now, as Lars goes to the bathcom, we'll take a break here.
Gene, he's a nice guy.
No, he is a nice guy. You're right. Gene Bliss is with us here. Show customers what you're made of is what her topic is today. It's a little bit shorter than normal vignette, but it's kind of cool because it basically says, you know, walk the walk. If you're working with folks who are doing a certain thing, show them that you are as committed to what their endeavor is, as specifically as it relates to giving back to the community and doing some good stuff there. Let's listen to that right now.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Custom Inc. is a $50 million t-shirt shop that prints custom t-shirts for family reunions and groups and business events. They saw so many shirts being created for charities that they made a decision. Whenever a t-shirt gets printed by Custom Ink for a charity, they send a donation. Lori Mayfield from Custom Ink, who sends out those donations, said, "We try to donate to every charity that our customers hold close to their hearts. In 2009, do one thing that indicates to employees and customers what's important to you. A simple, selfless act will bond employees to you because they want to be in an environment where they are encouraged to do the right thing. And customers will come to know you as people who share common values with them."
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thanks, Gene Bliss, here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Always good stuff from Gene. A little bit later on this hour, Shameen Abbas is with us. Social media as it relates to digital lingo. As we get ready to talk to Ted Burton, Executive Vice President of EnviroMedia Social Marketing, out of Austin, Texas, a fine, fine city. What do you have there?
Well, you know, Ray, oh, by the way, before we were talking off the air about GPS and so forth, I've always wondered why they don't give you an option of a male versus a female voice. I, for one, just cannot take directions from a female, so when I don't use my GPS. But I mean, they should click it over and, okay, here's a male. Hey, now take a left up here. You know, anyway, McClatchy's Kansas City Star plans to combine the news and local sections, main news and local sections, along with its business section 4 days a week into a single section. The recommendation follows a series of layoffs earlier this month. The newspaper said it would cut about 150 jobs. I said I was not going to do negative reporting this year, but that's just to say it's probably a trend we're going to see among other newspapers, and a smart move to be able to, you know, hang on there.
What did we see out of Chicago? Was it the Sun, Times?
Yeah,
is that what it was this week? I'm trying to... Or actually, it was last week I saw that as well, that they were having a few problems as well. But yeah,
you know, to avoid the negative, it's you don't have much choice for content.
No, I was looking for positive. Hey, they finally, well, here's some good news, Brad, as it doesn't relate to advertising unless they want to run a schedule or something, and they probably should. Terrafugia, and you would say, what the hell is that, a new wine? No, it's not. It's actually a flying car. They have perfected, in all of our days as boomers here, a flying car. It has flown. It will be for sale. It's sold out until the year 2010 as they get into, getting it set up for delivery. You give them a $10,000 non-refundable deposit, and then you pay the $184,000 left over on 12 easy payment plans, I guess.
Well, wait a minute. Do you need a pilot license or does a driver's license work for that?
Well, you know, here's the irony of that. A driver's license works for that because this car is categorized as a sport pilot rating. So you don't need a pilot's license. You do need a sport pilot's license, which is about 20 hours of flight training and such. But the flying car has arrived. So there's your good news here. Isn't that wonderful?
That's wild.
It really is wild. And like, I want one. I want one now. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Powered by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Ed Shipple and his gang do a great job with a program called Tendency. Check it out.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. As George Whipple said, this is a guy down the street from Ted who put this together, the book. What was the gentleman from GSD&M, Brad, that wrote the book, the Don't Squeeze the Charmin, who am I thinking of? I can't think of his name either. That's a shame. Maybe Ted knows.
I have it on my bookshelf.
Okay. You have it on your bookshelf? Okay.
I have it on my bookshelf, but I just can't see from here, so.
Well, if it somehow during the interview, go over there and take a look at it, Ted. Anyway, you know, it's hell to get old. It really is. It's tough. Ted Burton is Executive Vice President of Viral Media Social Marketing. And as I said, just down the street from our good friend Roy Spence at GSD&M in Austin. And glad to have you here, Ted. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you know, I was really excited when we received some press on you guys, in particular what you guys are doing with the Greenwashing Index, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do that, since you're a PR guy and you're supposed to be, you know, promoting environmental media social marketing, why don't you take a few minutes out? This is your paid political announcement opportunity, Ted, to talk a little bit about environmental media, what's going on with
that. If you want to run for president, you can do that too as well.
I think I may stick with my current position for now until we see how things turn out on the national level. But EnviroMedia Social Marketing is a full-service public relations and advertising agency. We've been around for about 11 years, based here in Austin, Texas. And we were the first full-service agency to focus exclusively on improving public health and the environment. So we are social marketers. We try to change people's attitudes and behaviors about important environmental and public health issues. And have been doing that for about 11 years. We have an Austin office, and we also recently just opened an office in Portland, Oregon. So I feel like I need to knock on wood when I talk about expansion, but in spite of the economy, things are going well, and I think with all the heightened attention, you know, in the last year or so on the environment, it's really been good for our business, and we're really happy to be working in the space that we're working in. So that's a little bit about what we do. And we have a pretty diverse client roster. We work for state government, local governments, public agencies, nonprofits, and then we have corporate clients as well. So a pretty diverse client roster.
So to define for us, Ted, greenwashing, for those that may not be familiar with the concept.
Well, I mean, greenwashing really is, you've heard the expression whitewashing, so it's really whitewashing but with a green brush, and it's when a company or organization spends more time and more money and more effort claiming to be green through their advertising and through their marketing than actually implementing business practices that help minimize their environmental impact. That's how we define greenwashing.
So I know your organization, EnviroMedia, got hooked up with Oregon University and partnered with them to promote a project called Greenwashing Index. Before we talk about what the Greenwashing Index does and what your whole project's about, how did you get hooked up with Oregon University? Why not UT right there in your backyard of Austin?
Well, actually, there is a UT connection because one of the people that we're working with at Oregon went to UT, and she and our principal, Kevin Turf, are, professional partners and friends, and so that's how the relationship with the University of Oregon came about, and frankly, it's been a great partnership because it did sort of help open the door for us to start exploring opening an office in the Portland market, and so it's been a really great relationship. We do work closely with the University of Texas and have done so for many years. You know, we hire their interns, and many of their interns have become full-time staff, including the two principals who run the company are UT grads, myself. So a relationship there, but the University of Oregon School of Journalism had an interest in greenwashing and authentic green advertising, and so we brokered a partnership, and the rest is history.
So, Ted, why is greenwashing a problem today? I mean, is it just another example of dishonest advertising and marketing, or is it a lack of understanding on the marketer's part? What's going on?
Well, I mean, it may be a little bit of both. I think with all the attention on the environment, I think we believe the tipping point may have been Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, and with all the attention paid to climate change and the environment, I think, you know, smart companies and smart marketers saw an opportunity to make money. And so, you know, the companies that have a true, authentic story to tell, an environmental story to tell, were already doing so, but I think maybe some companies saw the door slightly open and thought, you know, realized there could be an opportunity to make a buck. And so I think that's why you've seen an increase in, you know, both green advertising, authentic green advertising, and greenwashing.
Well, I know your greenwashing index rates ads using a particular criteria, and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys arrive at your index for ads, how people can go about submitting those, and what criteria you use, et cetera. And we're going to do that next segment. But before we get into that, are there any advertisers who have been called out for greenwashing yet continue to go along with a campaign knowing that they're misleading their consumers out there?
Well, I think if you go to the greenwashing index site, people can see for themselves the type of ads and companies that have been called out on the site. We've been very careful along with the University of Oregon. You know, we're not the ones that are pointing the finger. What we wanted to do was really just give consumers the tools that they need to become more savvy and be able to evaluate for themselves environmental marketing claims. But when you go to the site and look at some of the ads, there you'll see for yourself that there are certainly some industries that have been called out on the website. The most ads have been related to the automotive industry, followed closely by energy and utility industries. And, you know, you'll see that there are companies that are advertising what, at least what consumers, based on our criteria, have said are not authentic, you know, greenwashing ads, and are continuing to do so.
On the Advertising Show, our very special guest today is Ted Burton out of Austin, Executive Vice President of Enviro Media Social Marketing. Back to with more here with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsythe in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsythe. We had time during the break to go to the library, which in this particular case is the bathroom, and found the book, Hey Whipple, Squeeze This. Luke Donald is our good friend of The Advertising Show. He's been a guest a couple
Luke
of
Sullivan.
Times, I think. So
Luke Sullivan.
Oh, Luke Donald's a golfer. Never mind. And he's a nice guy, too. So anyway, Ted, welcome back to the show. Ted, you are Executive Vice President, Strategic Thinker and of Enviro Media Social Marketing. I won't. That's fine. You just have to prove it. That's all. We want to know that your brand of strategic thinking is indeed true. So anyway, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
You know, you were triggering a thought there as you were, you know, kind of dancing around commenting about the advertisers. And I do want to encourage everyone that to please check out the website, greenwashingindex.com. Is that correct, Ted?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, greenwashingindex.com. And you'll see ads in there and certainly submit those that you might feel apply as well. But I was curious. I know you can't comment on any pending litigation, but you know, it just triggers a thought. You guys are doing a hell of a job out there, and I think you're really serving a purpose and a consumer need. And hats off to you guys for doing it. But have you had any companies out there trying to, you know, do some legal wrangling to try to get you guys off their, you know, keep from shining some light on?
You mean lobbying?
No, I'm talking about litigation.
Okay.
You know, we haven't, and I think it's because we've been very careful to make sure that it's the consumers. You know, it's a tool for consumers, and so the consumers are the ones who are posting the ads and then commenting on the ads. So we've been very careful not to be the ones pointing the finger, because we don't really feel like that should be our role. We feel like if we can give consumers the information they need, then they can make the decisions for themselves. So
right. let's get into
lawsuits, and hopefully I didn't just jinx us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, you're providing a platform, and the others are making the comments. So let's get into some of that. The Greenwashing Index, as we mentioned last segment, rates ads using a specific criteria. If you don't mind, Ted, explain for our audience to how you guys determine a Greenwashing Index for ads that are submitted to your site. What criteria do you use?
Sure. As you mentioned previously, we did work with the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communications to come up with really five basic criteria that consumers can use. The first one is, does the ad mislead with words? And so, you know, if the viewer or the reader is reading about a company's product, you know, are the words in some way misleading? Do they try to make you believe that there's a green claim when there really isn't? And so that's one of the criteria. The next is, does the ad mislead with visuals or graphics? And I think this is an easy one for people to relate to. If you've been in a grocery store in the last 2 years, you've noticed that many labels are turning green and suddenly have flowers blooming and forests growing. And so it's, you know, are these images or graphics intentionally misleading the consumer about the particular product and making them think that perhaps it's more environmentally friendly than it actually is? Does the ad make a claim that is vague or seemingly unprovable? So, you know, making an environmental claim about a particular benefit, but then doesn't back it up. And, you know, if they do make a claim, does the advertiser provide a source for those claims? And, you know, if you want to, you know, one of the things that we tell people is go to the company's website and look around and see if you can find the information. And if you have to dig for it, if it doesn't exist, then perhaps there's a problem.
Hmm.
The fourth criteria is, does the ad overstate or exaggerate how green the product really is or the service really is? And so a consumer can really judge for themselves. So they feel like the advertiser's overstating the environmental benefit of that particular product. And then finally, does the ad leave out or perhaps mask really important information that makes a green claim sound better than it is? So do they intentionally try to divert your attention from something else the company is doing? You know, does it seem that there's something missing from the ad? So those are the five basic criteria, which are explained in a little bit more detail on our website, on the Greenwashing Index website.
Very well explained. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, Ted Burton, Executive Vice President, and Viral Media Social Marketing out of Austin, Texas. And we're glad to have him here on the show today. We're going to take a break and come back and finish up with the interview. So we hope you stay right here.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising.
To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind, what you're hoping to find.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. My special guest is Ted Burton, Executive VP, EnviroMedia Social Marketing. The website for the company is EnviroMedia. And, Ted, share with us the other website that we talked about just a few minutes ago.
The Greenwashing Index, and that's greenwashingindex.com.
Very good. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so back to your index. Who are you finding in terms of business categories seem to be the one group that's getting posted more frequently than others? Are there any?
Yeah, there definitely are. I guess the top four industries would be automotive, energy utilities, consumer goods, and then technology electronics. And we have we launched the Greenwashing Index about a year ago in January of 2008, and since then we've had 70,000 unique visits or unique visitors from consumers in 142 countries. So we feel like it's really taken off, and so far about 170 ads have been posted. But it's also important to note that not all of them have received negative ratings, and you can go on there now and see the ads are categorized based on the consumer's feedback and reactions. We have a category for the ads voted most authentic, and then the ads that are voted the worst offenders. And so consumers vote on a scale of 1 to 5 based on the criteria we discussed a few minutes ago, but you know, one being actually good on the Greenwashing Index, one means that the consumer feels that is authentic and true, and then a 5 is the worst, meaning the ad is bogus and at least in the consumer's mind is the worst possible example of greenwashing.
Do you guys police what's being posted? I mean, if something looks a little, I mean, a lot of those categories that you mentioned, the criteria that you allow the consumer to gauge these ads on are very, you know, they're very subjective, I must say. And not to say, again, that you're not offering a great platform to do good work for those that are trying to pull a fast one on the consumer out there, but, you know, being an advertising and marketing professional my entire life and dealing with clients that seem to think they understand advertising and marketing as much as we professionals do, I can't imagine Joe Sixpack out there being asked to evaluate advertising and do it in the way that you go through that. If you find someone has misjudged or is maybe inaccurate in their interpretation of what's going on there, do you pull that information off? Do you comment on it? How do you control that?
We don't comment on it. We do monitor the website to see what's being posted, and you know, we obviously don't want somebody to use the Greenwashing Index as their bully pulpit to you know, attack a company or create some sort of a viral campaign against a company. So we are aware every time an ad is posted, we're aware of that, and we look to see what the ad is and kind of monitor how things are going. I can say we've never had to pull an ad, and we've never had to really intervene in any way, but we are just cognizant of that because we want to make sure that the index stays true to, you know, to what the original intent was, and that is just to provide this tool for consumers to help educate themselves so they can become more savvy in their daily lives.
Well, you're speaking to a global audience of tens of thousands of listeners around the world, and so maybe you'll see an influx of ads from outside of North America. We'll see. We'll stay posted on that. Two quick questions before we wrap it up. First, what's the end game for you guys? What are you trying to accomplish? Political impact of the FTC, solely awareness of ads and what's going on out there, policing the category. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I hate to sound like we have our head in the clouds, but we do, but you know, we are in the business. We're in the business of advertising truly environmentally authentic products and issues, and so it's important to us that that you know, the industry sort of polices itself, and so you know, that's we feel like if consumers are better educated, it really makes our job easier as advertisers because, you know, they know what to look for and they know what's real and what's not real. So I'd say that, you know, that's part of it. We are very aware that the FTC, is in the process of, looking at their, green guides, which were established in 1992. And, in fact, they moved the review of the guides up by a year because of all the, environmental, advertising that was going on out there. And so we actually attended one of the Green Guide public workshops in January, and that's when we launched the Greenwashing Index, and there were two more meetings last year. So we're hoping that the FTC does step up and really do its job of regulating advertising, because we think it's, you know, somebody needs to be looking out for consumers and trying to make sure that there just isn't a lot of you know, greenwashing going out there in the space. So that's kind of why we're doing this.
Ray, one final question real quickly. Number one most common mistake when it comes to green marketing advertising?
I think perhaps what we think now is that it's underestimating the consumer, because we've learned through the Greenwashing Index and then some research that we conducted with Green Seal, a national poll, that consumers are actually pretty savvy. And they're willing to do their homework when it comes to sort of investigating whether a product is truly environmentally green or authentic. So I think that may be the biggest mistake, is just sort of taking the consumer for granted and thinking that you can just put something out there, and just because it's on TV or online or in a print advertisement, that people are going to believe it.
Now, more than ever, they're getting smarter day by day. They have the tools to find out what's going on. Don't lie to your consumer end product. It's Ted, thank you so much for being on the show today. Ted, Executive Vice President at Enviro Media Social Marketing, and best of luck as you continue this as well.
I appreciate your time, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Schilling, Brad Forsyth, back with more in just a moment.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of your coat. Take care of your coat.
As promised, we are back with another quick segment here on The Advertising Show. And thanks once again to our very special guest here today at the Advertising Show, and that was Ted Burton, Executive Vice President of Enviro Media Social Marketing. EnviroMedia.com, once again, is their website. Alex Ben Block is coming back next week. Alex is always fun.
Hi, this is Alex. The TV world is going to heck in a handbasket, and what else? What else does Alex say?
Well, whatever he says, it's usually very on the money when it comes to television, Hollywood, entertainment, the movie business. He's on the money, Ray.
He is. And he has money, from what I understand, because his daughter is very famous now. Well, as a rock and roll star.
Doesn't matter. He's still broke.
Oh, he is? Okay. I see.
No, I don't know that. He's probably doing fine.
I'm sure he is. What do you have there?
Well, you know, many of our listeners know Saturday Night Live and certainly remember the old days of Saturday Night Live. Becoming familiar with the vintage sketches that are now being played on the new version of Saturday Night Live. One of its original players, Ray, Dan Aykroyd, is exploring vintage wine, and the actor-musician is currently expanding his wine and spirits empire. He partnered to create the Dan Aykroyd Winery in Canada, is owner of Crystal Head Vodka, and co-founder of House of Blues. A lot of people already knew that. This year, he's focusing on the U.S. rollout of the Dan Aykroyd Discovery Series of Sonoma County wines. The affordable collection was created as a partnership with the Deloche Vineyards. I thought we had enough celebrities getting into the wine industry. Apparently, there's room for one more.
There was a rock star recently at a Whole Foods market. I think they sold like 50... Was it $15,000 worth of wine in an evening just so that these people can get an autographed bottle from this particular rock star? And I don't remember who the person was. No, I don't.
Apparently made an impression on you, right? Or was it an obscure rock star to begin
with?
Well,
yeah, it was somebody that not from my, not from my generation. So consequently, I didn't really connect with it. But obviously, a whole bunch of other people did and won a successful opportunity for a promotion to get in, to get a bottle signed by this particular person. Obviously, it's worth a couple of bucks, which is really cool.
So it's safe to say it was not Gladys Knight or any of the Pips.
Jeez. Ah, yes, Motown. It's good stuff. Hey, we have Shamin Abbas with us here right now. Social media, as it relates to C-level execs, is in digital limbo. That's not code, but you'll understand what I'm saying after you listen to this. So listen.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
The PR industry has embraced the world of digital communications and has made great strides in honing its place on the new frontier. On the client end, the lines are still a bit blurry, and we need to be sure we define them on what we can do and what is beyond our traditional purview. Web advertising, email marketing, and SEO are best handled by firms who specialize in such things. These are not tasks PR firms are typically set up to handle, although we must be aware, familiar with, and know how to work within the context of these issues. Where PR shines is in the area of social media, managing conversations, targeting influencers, handing over pictures and ideas to journalists, and we are the best equipped of any discipline to handle such tasks. Outreach to bloggers, creation of social networks, monitoring the chatter, locating discussions in which our clients should weigh in as experts. This is what we do best. Yet in the recently published 2008 PR Week Burson Marsteller CEO survey, more than 75% of CEOs use social media to some degree in their personal life, but only 18% of their companies have used social media to communicate with stakeholder groups, and only 30% are likely to do so in 2009. This is a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the results of social media on the presidential election if you need an in-your-face example. Social media has the power to reach and mobilize a target audience to take action. Exactly the way we propose to use social media for our clients. Given the successes PR firms have had with Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, we have to wonder where the communications breakdown is when the CEOs don't seem to be getting this particular message. On the bright side, the study shows that 38% of CEOs plan to spend much more on PR in 2009. We must now spin all the webs connecting PR and digital, not only for our clients' corporate communications, but for the bigwigs at the top, where we have the chance to ascend the role of digital counselor.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin Abbas, with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show. Remember, next week it is Alex Ben Block. Alex is going to be with us here at the show. Have you seen the Jimmy Fallon the TV
sure,
show?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, he's doing a better job than I thought he would. You know, I mean, he's caught on quickly, and most of these guys that don't have experience in that area usually need some time. But I thought he's done a decent job relative to his time since his launch.
I think it's interesting, too. The thing that I note from him is I feel like he's a little bit uncomfortable yet on the monologue. He's just not quite there You know, when you're trying too hard, it's like, don't do that. Just be yourself because you're really funny. Don't have to try that hard.
If we're going to be critical, Laura, my wife, was watching as I was watching, kind of over my shoulder, because I'm interested in just seeing how this guy progresses. And she said, I can't listen to this anymore. He's talking too much during the interview. He's not letting the guest speak. And
wow.
He really was. And as you well know, if you're a good interviewer, the guest does all the talking, and you just interject a few questions here and there. It certainly makes the interviewer's job easier. But a little nervous energy and talking too much during the interview, that kind of thing. Not much flow or continuity to it. But
other than that, he's doing a great job, Jimmy. We really want to pat you on the back and tell you you're doing good. And it really is a great show, too. Jimmy Fallon's off to a good start, and we wish him all the best here. Hope you had a good time listening to the show today with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget Alex Bentlock is with us next week on The Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. Tell a friend about The Advertising Show. Go check out all the cool stuff that's there. And we'll hope you tell a friend as well, like we said. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.